So we're going to rock and roll. I know I speak fast. I'm sorry. It's the way God made me. I just get excited about God's word, okay? Hey, so grab your Bible. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 is where you guys are turning. We're going to unpack this and look at this really quickly. I want you to know and understand, here is Peter writing a letter to God's elect. Everybody said, that's right. Oh, man, I'm going to get you guys to talk to me a little bit. Everybody said, that's right. All right, so you got it going on, okay? Check it out. He's writing this letter to them because he realizes that they're standing for what they believe in, and they're facing persecution, okay? And guys, the reason why God laid this on my heart is I believe that kind of that's where we're at today in our world today, okay? The fact is, you and I, we've got to stand up for what we believe in. Everybody said, that's right, okay? The fact is, if you don't stand up for something, the fact is you probably don't really believe in it. And so it's important for you and I to stand upon God's word and his truth. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12, he says, stand fast, okay? And so that's exactly what you and I are called to do as believers. In other words, watch this, guys. Is God creator? He is, okay? Only one of you believed it, okay? God is creator, okay? All right? The God that created this world, he spoke it to existence, okay? If he's creator, he's also a definer, church. And so when we see our world trying to define what marriage is, and it doesn't line up with God's word, we need to have a problem, and we need to stand up for it. Yeah. When you and I recognize that God's creator, he's also a definer, but yet when we look at the world, they're trying to define when life begins, and it doesn't line up with scripture, we need to stand up for that, church. All right? And I can go on and on and on. You guys get it. And so here is Peter writing this letter. And as they are standing up for what they believe in, they're facing persecution. And he tells them three things to remember. And I want to show you these three things really quickly, okay? 1 Peter chapter 1, go with me to verse 3. Verse 3, listen to what this says. It says, praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his great mercy. Everybody say mercy. Guys, do you realize that you and I have been delivered from something that you and I deserve? All right? We deserve the cross. We deserve death. We deserve hell. But because of his mercy, you and I, if we have a relationship with Jesus, we are now his, and we have been delivered. Praise God. In the view of God's mercy, watch this. He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I love this, church. In verse 3 and verse 4, here's what he tells you and I. As you and I are standing up for what we believe in, he says, you and I need to recognize this one thing right here. He says, Jesus is the hope. Everybody say hope. He is the hope of our salvation. Do you agree with that, church? And he says, you and I have this new birth. In other words, once you and I come to Christ, in other words, when you and I recognize we have sin in our life and we need salvation and we ask Jesus to forgive us our sins, we now become a child of God. Come on, church. We are now his. We are now a prince and a princess of the king. And now we have a calling in our life. And watch this, guys. Once we do that, we now have a new birth and we have a new life. Woohoo, baby. And it goes on to say that here he is, that he's alive and well. He has been resurrected. And watch this, church. He's alive and well. He's at the right hand of the Father right now, and he's praying for you and I. And if the God that you and I are worshiping and sing to and pray to, if he's alive and well today, guess what, church? Everybody say what? You and I are alive and well today. Isn't that awesome? That is the hope that you and I have. In other words, watch, let me put it this way. When you and I come to Christ and we ask him to forgive us our sins, we are now a child of God. And watch this. The old is gone, the new has come. Right? How about this? Once we were dead, but now we're what, church? We're now alive. Praise God, right? We once were just a creation of God. Now we're a child of God. Once you and I come to Christ, guess what? Watch this. You and I now have a new family. We now have a new identity. We now have a new father. Are you with me, church? We have a new freedom. So in other words, when you and I come to Christ, we now have this new life, and that's the hope that you and I have. Again, everybody say hope. I love what he says in verse 4. Check this out. After he reveals to you and I that here is Jesus who's alive and well, you and I have this new life. In verse 4, I love what he says. He goes on to say, into an inheritance that will never perish, it will never spoil, and it will never fade. He goes on to say, this inheritance is kept in heaven. Everybody say heaven. Seven, in heaven for you, it goes on to say that who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Church, that's the hope that you and I have. You and I have an inheritance that's kept in heaven. Come on, church. Think about heaven really quickly. You realize that when you and I get to heaven, we're going to have a brand new body? Yep. Come on now. Man, I praise God for that. My body now, I'm getting to the age now, I'm breaking down, I'm being destroyed, I can barely walk, all those kinds of things. But once I get to heaven, I'm going to have a new body, and it's going to be perfect. Do you realize, church, that when you and I get to heaven, not only are we going to have a new body, but we're also going to have a mansion that says in Scripture in John chapter 14, there's going to be many, many rooms. You realize, church, that when you and I get to heaven, we're going to have conversations with people of the Bible. Do you realize, church, that when you and I get to heaven, we're going to be able to see loved ones that have gone on before us? Do you realize, church, that when you and I get to heaven, we're going to be in a place of no more pain, no more suffering, no more crying, and no more death? Heaven's a real place, church. Y'all can talk up in this place. We can get excited, all right? Do you realize that when you and I get to heaven, church, do you realize we're going to be in a place that's perfect? It tells us there in Revelation 21, it gives a detailed description, and it talks about how there's this great high wall. It talks about how there's these 12 foundations. It says how there's these 12 gates. And I'm telling you, church, we're going to understand that when we see that great high wall, we're going to be in a place of security. We're going to understand that you and I are going to have those gates. We're going to have freedom. We're going to understand that we have those foundations. The fact of the matter is, we're going to be in a place that is permanent. Hello, church. Man, heaven's going to be awesome. You know why it's also going to be awesome, church? It also tells us in Revelation 4 and 5, it talks about a detailed description of a worship service taking place in heaven. And it says that here is Jesus sitting on a throne. 24 elders are surrounding him. And it says that they're worshiping him by saying, "Holy, holy, holy." Here is Jesus who has seven eyes and seven horns. Not that he really has that, but it teaches you and I, here is Jesus who has perfect wisdom. He's got perfect power, and because of that, he's worthy of our worship. I can't sing now, but I'm telling you, church, up in heaven, I'll be leading worship. Are you with me? All right? The fact of the matter is, you and I have hope in Jesus. Everybody say, that's right. All right? So no matter what happens in the election, Cody will be talking about it here in a little bit. You guys, we obviously need to vote. That's what we're called to do. But I'm telling you, church, he's still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All right? And so the fact is, though, you and I, as we face this world that we're facing, you and I can stand firm. We can stand fast. Why? Because our hope is not found in our strength. Our hope is not found in our ability. Our hope is found in Jesus. And it continues to go on. Look at the very next verse. I love this. Not only do you and I have this hope that's found in Jesus, watch what he says in verse 6 and verse 7. Let me read it really quickly. It says this. It goes on to tell you and I, in all of this, you will greatly rejoice. Everybody say rejoice. Don't you love it, church? You will greatly rejoice, though, watch this, says for a little while, you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. You guys like trials up in here? Right? It says that you and I are going to face trials. It says these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though it's refined by fire. Look what it says. In other words, your trials in your life, says they may result in praise, glory, and honor. Why and when? When Jesus Christ is revealed. Are you with me, church? Does that make sense? Check this out. Watch this. So you and I, the reason why we can stand firm is because we recognize that Jesus is the hope of our salvation. Everybody say hope. Hope. But he's also the joy of our salvation. Everybody say joy. So in other words, when you and I are facing those obstacles, when you and I have those trials, when you and I have those difficult times, when you and I have those storms in our life, our hope is found in Jesus. And because it's found in Jesus, we can still have joy. Does that make sense, church? Are you with me? All right? And so let me just throw this out there to you. I'll do a different illustration, Darren, so you don't have to hold this time, okay? I know you are hurting, okay? Check this out, okay? Y'all missed the first one, okay? Here we go. Sometimes life is kind of like a puzzle. Who in here likes to do puzzles? All right? We sit down and we put these puzzles together and we take this piece and take this piece. We put them together and we begin to make this picture, right? But the fact is, life sometimes is like a puzzle where it just falls out, right? And it's a mess, right, church? And guys, let's get transparent. Let's get real right now. I know in this room right now, there are people right now that this is what your life looks like. And what we do is we begin to look at all these pieces and we say, man, my life is a mess. How can God use me? How can he take this mess and make a message and so on and so forth? And what we do, church, is we dwell on, watch this. We look at this and we say, man, that's when I had pain in my life. Man, right here, that's when I had loneliness in my life. Man, right here, I was distracted here. Man, I was hurting here. Man, I just felt like it was me and nobody else, right? And I mean, I go on and on and on. And what we do as Christians a lot of times is we dwell on all of these trials. Again, everybody say trials. I want you to know and understand the reason why you and I can still have joy even when you and I face trials is because you and I serve a God who, check this out, He sees the whole picture. Yeah, He sees our mess. He sees how we make the mess, so on and so forth. The fact is, you and I serve a God who sees the whole thing. And we need to watch this, church. We need to trust Him with that. Everybody say trust. Think about this, guys. How many of you guys, let's read a verse really quickly, okay? So when we think about trials, you and I got to understand that sometimes they're necessary. When you and I think about trials, we also got to understand they're always temporary. Because again, our hope is not found in this world. Our hope is found in Christ. Are you with me, church? Okay? And so check this out. Watch this. So let me read verse 9 with you really quickly, okay? As you and I recognize that Jesus is the joy of our salvation, look what He says in verse 9, okay? It tells you and I, for you are receiving the end results of your faith, the salvation of your souls. In other words, check it out. You and I trust God when it comes to our past, right? We look at our sin, and we recognize we have sin in our life. So we ask Jesus to forgive us our sins. And when we do that, we know that we're now forgiven. And we know that we're now His. And we trust Him with that. We also trust Him with our past, right? Or with our future. And we look at our future and we say, man, one day I'm going to be able to receive, you know, heaven. I'm going to be able to be in heaven. I'm going to be able to worship Him the way He deserves to be worshiped. And all of those things. Are you with me, church? Can I also tell you, even as right now, as you and I face trials, you and I can trust Him. I know it's not easy, and I get that, but you and I can still trust Him with what we got going on here. All right, if you listen, say I am. So check this out, watch this. How many of you guys love to go on a cruise? Okay, bunch of sinners, I'm just saying. I'm just kidding. Man, I don't do cruise, okay? I don't get it, okay? I don't do water. I don't like it. But think about this, guys. You guys get on a cruise ship, and you don't know that captain. Hello? You don't know anything about him. You never even talked to that person. You don't know their name. You don't know where they're from. You don't know their family. You don't know their belief. You don't know what kind of week they've had, what kind of month they've had. But yet, you don't even question it. And you get on that ship, and you go find your spot, and you sit down, and you relax, and you trust that person. Hogwash. I don't get it. My wife wants to go on a cruise, and I told her, man, I've been praying about it. Finally told her, I said, man, this summer we'll go on a cruise. You got to set it up. We will do this thing. So y'all pray for me. I talk a big game now, but when it gets closer, I don't know, all right? I might send Pastor Cody. Who knows, okay? It's not my thing, all right? How about this? Have you guys ever flown on an airplane before? Hello? I don't get it, right? I fly all the time. I love to fly. But think about this, guys. We get on that plane, and we don't even question who that very pilot is. We don't know where they come from. We don't know what they believe. We don't know anything about them. But yet, we get on that plane trusting they're going to get us from point A to point B. But for some reason, church, you and I, when we go through trials, when we have going on things going on in our life, we throw our hands up and we say, man, why is this going on in my life? So on and so forth. And I'm telling you, church, we can trust God. We can trust Him because He's in control of everything. And He understands what's going on. He sees all the pieces. He's going to put it all together. And the fact is, He can see the whole picture. He knows exactly why He's got you going on through what you got going on in your life right now. And you and I just got to trust. Everybody say trust. And you and I got to believe. Everybody say believe. And you and I got to do this. Give Him all the praise and glory. Are you with me, church? So I don't know what kind of trial you got going on in your life. I don't know where you're at going on in your life, whether it be in your marriage, whether it be in your money, or whether it be in, you know, your workplace, whatever's going on in your life. My prayer is that you just trust God. Everybody say, I can. Everybody say, I will. Guys, it's not by chance, it's by choice. Whose choice is it? It's yours. So here is Peter reminding the people, you can stand firm. How do we do it? Because we recognize that Jesus is the joy, the hope of our salvation, but we also recognize that Jesus is the joy of our salvation. Everybody say, that's right. We'll have a pop quiz when I get to come back, okay? All right, check it out. Let me show you the next thing he says. I love this. Not only is Jesus the hope, not only is Jesus our joy, but check out what he says next in verse 10, okay? Verse 10 through verse 12, let me read this. Concerning this salvation, okay? concerning this salvation, look what he said. They say, he writes to them, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstance which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the suffering of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. Look what it says in verse 12. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that they now have been told to you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Hello, church. So watch. Let me just put it very simply. Check this out, okay? You and I, we recognize that Jesus is the joy of our salvation. We recognize that Jesus is the hope of our salvation. And so you and I now need to know and understand, you and I have got to now testify and witness and share that very salvation. Does that make sense? Guys, can I get real with you? We have a lot of Christians who have been a Christian for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and yet they've never shared the gospel. There's a problem with that. We have people who have been a Christian for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and yet you've never made a disciple. We have a problem with that. Are you with me, church? So watch. I love to go and go outside and play sports, and I love to hang out with my boys, and we love to play ball and all those kinds of things. I got a picture up here of my family really quickly. Friday night we played Brownwood, which was our is it coming up? There we go. We played Brownwood, which is our rival. We beat them 44-0. Are you with me? Okay. Praise God. This is my oldest over here with the jersey on. He's a junior in high school. That's my beautiful wife. And then that's my eighth grader next to me right there. He's 6'1", 220. We'll see what happens. I don't mess with him anymore. Are you with me, church? He's also redheaded. Y'all just pray for me because I need the prayer. You need the practice, okay? But watch. I love to go outside with my boys when we play ball. Right? Starting out when they were young, we would go out there, man, we would just get out there and we would just start throwing the ball back and forth to one another. Okay? And it was just something that we connected with, right? And it was something that we were able to talk a lot about things in this world. When we go walking, we always grab a football. Are you with me? Sorry, buddy, I'll talk to you too. There you go. It's a different illustration, I know, but check this out. It's something I always look forward to doing, and it's something I'm always going to remember. See, here's the deal. Would you imagine if I went outside and I said, hey, boys, let's go play ball, and I grab a football or I grab a basketball or whatever, and I get outside, and I get to one side of the yard, and I get to the other side of the yard, and I got the ball in my hand, and I just kind of just smile at them, and I don't do anything. Would that be silly? They're going to be looking at me like, Dad, what's going on? You need some help, right? I mean, there's all those kinds of things that be going through their mind, right? Or can you imagine if I go outside and I say, hey, guys, let's go play ball, and I take a ball, and I go to my son, I throw him the ball. Oh, looky there, right? But yet, he catches it. But can you imagine if he don't throw me the ball back? Smells like coffee. I love it. But can you imagine if I throw the ball to my boy and they catch it and they don't ever throw it back? That would be crazy. Are you with me, church? If you listen, say I am. Guys, watch. I want you to know and understand, you and I, as we recognize that Jesus is the joy of our salvation, that Jesus is the hope of our salvation, that should bring joy and excitement in our life, and that even when we're facing trials, you and I need to be bold about what we believe in, and it's time for us to stand up for what we believe in, and it's time that you and I begin to share the gospel with people. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, for you and I, he says, for what I've received, I passed on to you as first importance. And he begins to share what that is. He says that Jesus died on the cross for me and that he was buried. And on the third day, he rose again according to the scriptures. And he goes on to say that it's not without effect. Guys, I'm telling you, check this out. I got a picture here of my son and I. This past summer, we got to go to Columbia. I go to Columbia 45, I've been there 41 times or something like that. I've been to El Salvador a handful of times, Costa Rica. Man, I love what God's called me to do. I set my easel up in a street corner neighborhood park, start drawing pictures that draws in the crowd, and we can share the gospel with them. Check out this next picture. I love my son. You know what I love about him? Man, he loves Jesus. He wants to make a difference for his kingdom. And here's a young man that he got there. And man, I'm being transparent with you. He was a little nervous. He was a little scared. He's thinking, Dad, can I honestly do this? Here I am, 17 years old. I'm in a third world country. I don't know anything about their culture. I can't speak their language. Can God really use me? Guys, can I ask you something? Is that how you feel sometimes? The fact of the matter is, I was like, man, guess what? God's put you here for a reason. When he calls you to do something, he's going to give you the ability to do it. And guys, can I be honest with you and transparent with you? By the end of the week, my son thought he was Billy Graham. Are you with me? He was like, man, I got this. Get out of my way. I'm telling you, church, in 4 days, we were able to share the gospel to many people, and we saw over 2,000 professions of faith. And I'm not saying that to say, hey, look at what we did. I'm saying, guys, watch this. Give me your eyes. We made ourselves available. And I'm telling you, church, when you make yourself available, God's going to be able to give you opportunities to be able to make much of him. And when you and I make much of him, we're going to see soul-saved lives change. But here's the thing, church. Many of us, and I'm just being real with you, I'm doing this because I love you and I care about you. We have a lot of Christians who receive the gospel, and then you sit there and you do nothing with it. And you're at that side of that yard, and you're just looking at that person. You're just smiling at them. And Paul says, what I have received, I pass on to you as first importance. Have you noticed every single person? I skip you so you don't get hit. You notice every single person that I pass, they have to make a choice. Everybody say choice. They have to make a choice of whether or not they're going to catch the ball. That's what you got to do with Christ. All I can do is present the gospel to you and let you know that, you know what, Jesus died on the cross for you, but now you got to make that choice to say yes to him. And many of you in this room, I got to believe you made that choice and you are his. Praise God. You now have a calling on your life. Everybody say, that's right. And now that calling is you and I, we're supposed to grow closer to him. We're supposed to worship him and we need to make him known. Because he says, what I've received, I now need to pass on. Check it out, church. Every one of you guys have caught that ball. You made that choice. And in every one of you guys, after you catch it, you've done what? You've thrown it back. Without even me having to say anything. Immediately, you caught it, boom, I'm going to throw it back. Many of you are like, don't throw me the ball. I can see it in your face right now. Woo, baby. I'm being selective, okay? I get it. Church, what I'm trying to challenge you with, as you and I face trials, as you and I face obstacles, as we have difficult times in our life, you know what? We can still have hope. You know what? We can still have joy. Why? Because our hope and joy is found in Jesus. Everybody said, that's right. And then it says, concerning this salvation that you and I have, we now need to go and witness and testify to that very salvation and give people Jesus. Quit being the frozen chosen. Quit being a secret saint. Quit being in a holy huddle. Are you with me, church? It's time for us to step up and step out and do what God's called us to do and begin to throw that tennis ball to people. Because the truth of the matter is, the Bible says today is a day of salvation, meaning yesterday is gone and tomorrow is not promised. And there's people that God's put in your life for you to testify to. There's people that God's put in your life that you can share the gospel to. And I'm telling you, church, it's time for us to make most of those opportunities. Are you with me, church? So I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you're at in your life. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what you need to do today. But my prayer is that God take this very message in my heart, share it with you, to challenge you, for you to recognize that you and I have hope, you and I have joy, and now let's go and testify. Pretty simple, right, church? Can I draw a picture for you guys? As I draw this picture, I want you to think about what we just talked about, and then you're going to have an opportunity, obviously, to respond after that. But let's pray real quick. Lord, I come before you right now. And I want to thank you for this morning. I want to thank you for this church body. They're so special to me and to our family and ministry. And Lord, I pray that right now as I draw this picture for the next 7 minutes or so that you will be blessed. It's all about you. It's all because of you. We love you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Who else would rocks cry out to worship? Whose glory taught the stars to shine. Perhaps creation longs to have the words to sing, but this joy is mine. With 1,000 hallelujahs, we magnify your name.
God's calling. There's a chair that waits for you, and a friend who understands everything you're going through. You keep standing at a distance in the shadow of your shame. But there's a light of hope that's shining. Won't you come and take your place and bring it all to the table? Nothing he ain't seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it all to the table. He can see the weight you carry, fears and hopes you're. But through the cross you've been forgiven, you're accepted as you are. So bring it all to the table. It's nothing he ain't seen before. For all your trials, all your worries and your burdens, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it all to the table. Bring it all. Nothing he ain't seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrow and your sadness, the Savior and he calls. Bring it all to the table.
My time to go, but before I leave, go tell the world about me. I was dead, but now I live. I've gotta go now for a little while, but goodbye. Don't forget.
church. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus says himself, the only way you and I can get to heaven is through him. Everybody said, that's right. Guys, this morning we talked about that salvation. As the band comes forward and they're going to get ready for the invitation, check this out. Let me just show it to you this way and I'm done. Guys, I come here because I love you and I care about you. And I love Jesus and I want people to understand they got to have a right relationship with him. See, we have a hope and we know that there's a time we're going to be able to get to heaven. But the fact is, not everyone's going to get there, church. See, here's the thing. What I have here is, this is the world's will. And this right here is God's will. Are you with me, church? And the fact is, everybody, I hope I don't fall off this thing. That would be bad. Everybody, at some point, is in this chair. Living in the world's will. Doing what the world wants them to do. And what we learned this morning is we see that there's joy and there's hope in Jesus. Everybody say, that's right. And see, to move from this chair, what you've got to do is say yes to him. Put your faith in him and him alone. Understanding that you have sin in your life and that you need a Savior. You see, the Bible says that the world's will and God's will, they're in conflict with one another. See, here's what scares me, church. We have a lot of people who want to try to live like this. And you want to say, man, I want to do what God called me to do, and I have that joy, and I want to, you know, be able to go and share the gospel, and I want to live for him, and I want to make him known, and then we want to live in the world as well. And church, that's hogwash. I'm telling you, church, you and I, we got to move from this chair to this chair by putting our faith in him and him alone and give him everything and say, I surrender all. Recognizing his joy, recognizing the hope that we have in him. And because of that, we're now going to go testify to people who are in this chair. We want to love on that person, take them to the cross, and give them Jesus. We want them to be able to see a difference in us the way we live our life. And they say, man, I want to have that joy that you got. Man, I want to have the freedom that you have. Why is it that you always have that smile on your face? And why is it that, man, you pray and you worship even when you're going through those trials and those tribulations? So I don't know where you're at this morning, church. I don't know if you're in this chair and you've never said yes to Jesus. I want you to know that you don't have to change to come to him. You got to come to him to be changed. And if you'll just put your faith in him and him alone, you will now have a right relationship with him. Now, if you're in this place and you're trying to live like this, man, there's some things in your life you need to get real and get right with so revival can take place in your life so God can use you the way he's called to use you. You can't grow like this. You can't worship like this, and you can't be used like this. Are you with me, church? Father God, I come before you right now, and I just want to thank you for this morning. I want to thank you for this church body. I want to thank you for this time. It's all about you. It's all because of you. Lord, I pray that you'll just work and move in a mighty, powerful way. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, I pray.